This week on the Fraternity Sorority Life podcast, a three-part series featuring alumni and alumna advisors. In this episode, Robert Braswell weighs in on advising an NPHC organization.
I think chapters respect advisors more when they're there and they're more so providing feedback and helping the chapter grow and develop versus saying, you know, we are so-and-so and this is what we do.
Hello, and welcome to the Fraternity Sorority Life podcast. I'm your host, Matt Deeg, and this set of episodes has been particularly enjoyable to record. I know I'm about a month late to be celebrating advisor appreciation, that was in April, but I wanted to offer a different perspective. What does the fraternity experience look like through the advisor lens? So I reached out to some of my friends in the field, and they recommended some amazing individuals to interview. Many of the individuals who work with fraternities and sororities would say that their work is a calling, but these volunteers certainly exemplify that. I know it might be tempting to listen to just the one that reflects the organizations you frequently interact with. You might be doing that right now. But I encourage you to tune into them all. Each has their own set of insights, but also a group of parallel observations. In this episode, I interview Robert Braswell. Robert works at Northern Illinois University and is a PhD student at Illinois State University. Robert served as a chapter advisor for the Illinois State University chapter of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, as well as the Illinois State University Gamma Phi Omega chapter. Here's that interview. Hey, Robert, how's it going?
Things are going well. How are you?
Doing pretty good. I know we're both kind of wrapping up the semester and looking forward to summer, so I appreciate you taking the time in this busy moment to chat with me and share insights with our audience.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, so, you know, one of my good friends and colleagues, I guess one of our shared friends and colleagues, Alex, recommended, you know, that I chat with you because of your role as a chapter advisor when you were at Illinois State. And curious, you know, what prompted you to become a chapter advisor and then what kept you going in that role? We'll just start off with the basics.
That's actually pretty funny. I had just started working at Illinois State as a new professional. Like, that was my first gig right out of grad school. And I was actually involved in the alumni chapter in the city. And I was in chapter, and one of the brothers looked at me and said, well, I'm leaving my job at Illinois State. I recommended you as the chapter advisor. The chapter would be contacting you soon. And I looked and said, huh? So that's actually how I kind of got into the role. I had also began to get to know the brothers that were on campus and build those relationships. A few of them were RAs on campus, and a few of them worked what we call night ops, which is our night security in the building. So getting to know them and building those relationships, I kind of knew them, but I wasn't expecting to become their advisor. I kind of was kind of just talking to them in general about the organization and promoting them and promoting the activities they were having or programs and events and attending those things. And so just going, I guess I was kind of unofficial advisor, but I wasn't expecting to become the official advisor. And I kind of stayed in the role because I enjoyed the work that they were doing. I enjoyed helping them. I enjoyed the opportunity to develop and shape young professional or young men that were in the fraternity to kind of help them promote a greater good in the community. And it was a good way for me to step away from classwork as I was also became a doctoral student. And also things to do outside of work. So it was kind of stress relieving for me for those good things that the chapter had going.
Yeah, really cool. I mean, it sounds like, you know, prior to taking on the official role, you know, you were essentially just operating like a good brother. I think, you know, promoting and recommending and kind of pushing the brothers to excellence is what we would hope a good brother does. And, you know, what I've been seeing from chatting with advisors is just that that's really what a good advisor does too. And so, you know, an extension of your good brotherly actions just moved you into that advisory role, it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely I would agree with that. Just being there, being brotherly, getting to know them, things like that. Because in our fraternity, the chapter, the alumni chapter, and the graduate chapter has to agree upon an advisor.
Okay.
So I didn't know at that time they had already had that conversation and agreed that I would be best fit. That's the part that I was left out of. but the undergraduate chapter is able to recommend who they would prefer as their chapter advisor. And I actually have served in the role of being their chapter advisor as well as their campus advisor.
Okay. That's interesting because, you know, I think that gives the members a lot more say, and probably they feel more ownership over in relationship with the advisor because they get a hand in choosing them. You know, I've seen some of those models where, right, the advisor is just almost given to the chapter. And so I think that's really cool that they get to pick you.
Yep. And so, yeah, that's a part of it. They fully have the authority to ask, and if they can't agree upon it, then we kind of sit down and talk and try to figure out who would be best fit if the person that they really want doesn't want to be their advisor. Kind of have that conversation with them about, well, you know, how can we, with the alumni brother, we'll talk with them about, like, you know, how can we help you in that role? I know you don't necessarily, you're not interested, but what would help you become interested? Or even helping the alumni, the undergraduate chapter, even talk about who would be a good fit for them and how to navigate that process and figuring out who would be most beneficial for their growth and continued development.
Yeah, no, that's I really appreciate that system. And it sounds like, you know, as you're talking about helping the graduate brother kind of move into that role, I know every advisor does different things, and everybody's got kind of a different way of approaching that role, but kind of what were the main responsibilities you had as chapter advisor?
As a chapter advisor, I really met with the chapter to make sure they were implementing the national initiatives for our fraternity, making sure they were doing those national programs and making sure they were in good standings. One of the biggest roles is also making sure that they are meeting the academic requirements for the fraternity. And making sure that each member has a 2.5 cumulative GPA. And you know, for those who don't have a 2.5 GPA, it is the advisor's responsibility to implement the social probation that we have in our fraternity. And with that, if they don't have a 2.5 GPA, then they're not allowed to participate in any social activities. And so they're able to still work with the fraternity as far as attending chapter meetings. They're able to still do, like, the community service. But when it comes to those social things as far as social programming or stepping or strolling, things like that, those individuals are not allowed to do. Right. And that's actually one of the biggest challenges as a chapter advisor, helping the brothers understand that they need to meet that academic requirement in order to do those social things. Because they, as interest, they saw those things, and that's what they really wanted to do. But if they didn't have that GPA, kind of being like, hey, you know, we're going to help you get there, but right now, school needs to be your first focus.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, again, we reflect, I think, a lot of times in student affairs that we're there to help enhance the student education, and I think that just models that similar notion that, you know, as chapter advisor, you're there to help them really graduate first. So it sounds like a really interesting kind of shared governance model where, you know, the national organization has some policies that you as advisor are enforcing rather than the chapter brothers enforcing it. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes. The chapter itself, they implemented, but there's not always that respect in the chapter of saying, hey, I'm going to listen to the chapter president. So a lot of it was pushed over to me to kind of have that more authoritative role.
Yeah.
But also within the training for our advisors, that is in the advisor's expectation to implement and enforce that academic probation. It goes on to the chapter guidance for them to be able to make sure that those brothers are not participating with them. So if they're like parties or events and they're having step shows and things like that, the chapter is responsible to make sure that they don't include those individuals,
right,
or allow those individuals to participate, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're not always there for those things, so.
Right, because sometimes they travel to other schools for step shows, and with my on-call schedule and things like that, I wasn't always able to switch my schedule around to make sure that I was there. So if I wasn't there, it was then up to the chapter to make sure that they were enforcing those policies and procedures. But for the most part, the chapter did really well. And also the chapter itself implemented their own study buddies.
Yeah.
For those individuals who didn't have a 2.5, they were all paired with those brothers who were excelling well academically to go to the library with them for so many hours a week. And that kind of helped those individuals see other people's study habits and also helped them improve their own grades. And so that was something the chapter took initiative of. The chapter president and director of educational activities spoke with me and was like, hey, this is what we're thinking. What do you think? And I told him it sounded like a great, it was a great initiative and to move forward with it.
Yeah, you got to be a good sounding board for them.
Yes, and for me, I tried to not make their decisions. I think as an advisor, I'm kind of there to kind of advise and make sure that they're within guidelines and making sure that they're following policies and procedures. But as far as program development or initiatives and things like that, I really just wanted them to kind of share with me what they were thinking. And I kind of like, oh, yeah, that's good. Or have you thought about this? And kind of challenge them and support them during that time. But I never wanted to be one who dictated or one who made those decisions for the chapter.
Yeah, definitely. I think, just that chapter autonomy and really, yeah, the advising versus trying to run and relive your college days with them. Always such a tricky balance to navigate. You talked about, you know, one of the biggest challenges you had with just enforcing policies and saying, hey, you didn't meet the academic standard. We're going to get you help, but you can't, you know, participate in these social things. Are there other challenges that you noticed as a chapter advisor?
Yeah, I think when it comes to being a chapter advisor, one of the biggest challenges is building that relationship with the chapter to where the chapter will be willing and open to share things with you, but also trying to get them to kind of listen and take your advice. A lot of times the chapter prefers to listen to their older members or what we call their profites.
Right.
They would rather listen to profites or older members of the chapter. The chapter I advise is a very prominent chapter in our state. And so they still have members. Their chapter founder from 1971 is still around, is still alive, and so he's involved in it. Other brothers who crossed in the 70s, 80s, 90s, they're all there. And so just kind of helping people understand the change of things within the organization or even the change in students.
Right.
Was really difficult. And I say that because, like, brothers from the 70s be like, well, you know, when I was in the chapter, this is how we ran the chapter, or this is what we did. And then you have people who crossed in 2015, who were like, well, this is 2015, and this is what students do. So it's right. Kind of like trying to straddle that line and try to get everyone on one accord was, like, very difficult. And just trying to get the current chapter to kind of see changes and things like that, or try to help them better programs or think of other program or initiatives to do. Versus just following what their profites have done in the past was very challenging at times.
Yeah, and I think given the connectedness of the alumni to the organization, they're going to be much more involved with the organization and say, hey, we're still here and we want to help and give advice, but being able to step up as the advisor and say, well, hey, I'm not the last word, but I have more knowledge of the policies and the way things are supposed to work around here now. So definitely a tricky thing to navigate, I think.
Yeah, that, and then I think the other piece is, for example, if the chapter was called upon for some type of sanctioning, say they may have had an unofficial party or something of that sort, or unregistered party of whatever.
Yeah.
Being able to toe that line of allow the current chapter to work through that sanctioning versus sharing that information with the alumni. Because sometimes the chapter doesn't want the alumni to know they got in trouble.
Right.
And so alumni would call and be like, hey, I heard this happen. Why haven't we been told? I'm like, well, that's up to the current chapter to share that information with you. Because, you know, for us, the day that you graduate, you're no longer a part of that undergraduate chapter, per se, as an active member. And so I always felt like the current chapter members' business was the current chapter's member business, and I never really wanted to share that with the alumni chapter unless it was something that the undergraduate brothers were okay with me sharing.
Yeah, I think that's that's a really good policy.
Yeah, and then, you know, it worked out well, but then also it kind of brought some angry phone calls and things like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, things worked out well, and the alumni brothers were able to understand, like, hey, this is their chapter right now.
Right.
And they're kind of working through these things on their own, and kind of just respect the fact that that they're keeping that information within themselves was something that we really had to work with.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, and, you know, the flip side of this whole thing, you know, because you laid out a couple of pretty steep challenges that I think, you know, you're never going to fully solve because of the different undergraduates that are coming in and different alumni, like, presences. But, you know, I know that there are also just benefits and successes from being a chapter advisor. And so I'd love for you to highlight, you know, some of those that you've seen.
Yeah, I think being a chapter advisor kind of helps you grow as a professional. For me, it kind of helped with my own organizational skills because for us, when we have like our district meetings or our regional meetings or national convention meetings, you know, making sure that they are squared away also. So it's kind of like, hey, have you all reserved your rooms? Have you all registered? How do you plan to get there? You know, do you need a ride? Are you riding with me? Those type of things, and kind of just helping making sure that they have that and making sure they have their delegates in line as far as who's going to be their delegates for the chapter. Even like event planning, talking with them as far as it's kind of like, hey, you know, for this event, do you all have your speakers planned? Well, maybe these are some good people that could serve as your speakers and things like that. So it kind of helped me with my own organizational and event planning because I was kind of talking with them about that, and it kind of made me think, like, you need to be doing these things yourself.
Right.
So it kind of helped me out. But I also saw, like, the benefit of them growing and building those relationships. For example, I had, during my time, there were two brothers in the chapter who had expressed suicidal ideations.
Mm-hmm.
And because of my relationship with those students, the university, like the dean of students' office at the university, contacted me, like, hey, you know, we have these students, this is what happened, can you come with us to go speak with them? So my relationship with those students were actually being valued by the university and to utilize me as a source to kind of help these students get through whatever it was they were going through. I've attended, like, counseling meetings with students and things like that. So I had really close relationships, and, you know, it really showed me that I was able to break down those barriers that most people really aren't, as far as like that outside advisor or even someone from the alumni chapter. Because a lot of times the undergraduates want to stay separate from the alumni chapter. So I was able to really break down those barriers and help those students kind of see their role. And so I kind of pushed them out of their limits a little bit as far as participating in our fraternal awards. And so the very first year that they decided to participate, they participated in Chapter of the Year, Brother of the Year, New Brother of the Year. I believe they also was a part of the Quiz Bowl, which is kind of like, yeah, the Quiz Bowl that they had. And so they participated in a number of those events, and they won them all.
Wow.
And so they were the state champions, or they were the winners of our state, and they represented our state at the regional level. And so just being able to be there, there were so many people who talked to me about, hey, you've really changed this chapter. Like, this chapter is really known to be XYZ, but now we see them in a positive light and they're winning all these awards. And that's something that I really talked to the chapter about. If you all are winning these awards, you have people who will look at you all differently because they, at one point of time, they didn't have the best reputation. And so winning these awards made people really look at them differently. And I really looked at it, and I was really proud of them for all their hard work. And it kind of showed that. And so I kind of was like, yeah, you know, that's something that I was able to do. But their hard work showed, and they really won these awards. And they were able to represent their chapter and ultimately represent our state. It will represent our state at the next level.
Yeah, and it sounds like, I mean, one of the cool things you were able to do is just almost point them in that direction and say, hey, here are these opportunities. I think you can do this, and almost give them the nudge to then just start that momentum for them to get there.
Yeah, and you know, doing that, being able to give that extra push, really push them over and get them to where they are now. It's something that they continue to do. And, you know, I sat down with them and created a whole model with them of, hey, in order to be chapter of the year, this is how you should be presenting, or this is the information you need to be able to present to highlight your chapter. And it actually ended up being a model that they continue to use, and now they're, like, passing it down to, like, the next, every time the new chapter come in or every time the next line come in, they're passing it down, like, hey, this is what we need to do. How are we going to map out what we're doing? Things like that. So it's something that they're really using, and it's something that they've really taken pride in, being able to win these awards at the district, regional, and national levels.
Yeah, that's really cool, and probably fun to watch from, you know, from your new role now, just seeing them continue to be successful and carry those traditions on.
Absolutely. Yeah, I actually just witnessed them about 2 months ago at the Scholar Bowl at our regional conference, and they're actually going to be going to nationals this year to represent the Midwest region at the national convention in July, I believe. Well, so that's really good that they're continuing that.
Yeah, congratulations to them on that. One of the other things, and you started talking about how this role has enhanced, you know, your work role. I'm curious if, you know, any other things have popped out, like as you were developing as a chapter advisor, if it enhanced your other work role. I know working on a campus, you know, I think there's some natural connections there between, you know, advising a chapter and advising other students. But what other ways has it enhanced the work that you do?
For me, like, now I look at things through the lens of an advisor, kind of looking at those. I look at everything through the risk management lens, if you will. When there's events and things like that, I'm looking like, so about that, how can we make that a little bit more safe? Or like for my students, if they're having events, I'm like, so what all is going to be at this event?
Right.
So for me, I kind of naturally picked up the risk management piece. And, you know, I was able to create strong relationships with fraternity and sorority life office, the fraternity and sorority life office. They were very supportive and actually gave us different tools to utilize as advisors, but also had there was conference calls and meetings for advisors per council. And so you were able to talk to other advisors and see things that worked for their chapters and things like that. So kind of that networking piece was really good for me.
Right.
And I think with it also being able to see things through, I'm trying to think of the proper word to utilize, being able to see things impartially.
Yeah.
To kind of hear out full stories, because for me, when I hear things, or when I used to hear things, I'm like, well, shoot, why did y'all do that? or why did this happen? Or things like that. And so now, being through that fraternity sorority life lens, I'm able to kind of be like, okay, so tell me everything that happened. And kind of think about it, and being able to process what's happening was something that helps really well for the conduct piece that I do in my work.
Right.
And being able to have those conversations and follow up questions, and think about all those questions that you probably wouldn't think of. So if you did that, what happened next? Or just meeting with them in general to kind of have those conversations. It really did help with my conduct piece. It helped with my program management. It helped develop relationships across campus. I actually had the opportunity, from being an advisor, There was another chapter on campus who were in like their second or third year on campus, and they were looking for an advisor. And one of the officers was like, well, our advisor is great. Too bad y'all can't have him. And those women still came and said, hey, will you be our advisor? So I actually became an advisor for one of the Latina sororities as well on campus. So it kind of gave me that connection to kind of learn that spectrum as well through the MGC Council, or the Multicultural Greek Council.
Yeah.
So I kind of was serving as an advisor in MPHC and the Multicultural Greek Council. And so being able to see both worlds, and with the sorority piece, they were able to, I was able to make more of an impact with them because they were a newer chapter. And so they were looking for me to help them figure out how to develop their alumni association, or help them with the program development, or trying to find signature events that they can do continuously as a chapter for their fundraising, or even just to have those staple events that they know they're going to do every single year.
Yeah, it's kind of like you got experience almost with a startup, with, you know, with the brand new chapter coming in as their advisor. What were, like, because it's not frequent that I encounter someone who, you know, advises both a fraternity and a sorority, and does it like in different councils too. Well, I guess they would be, but, you know, what were some of the differences you saw?
Some of the differences, the sorority was a lot more organized and they were very, their chapter meetings were very efficient. They were short, sweet, and to the point. Robert's Rule of Orders was followed to the T.
Okay.
With the fraternity, on the other hand, it wasn't as much so, and it was a lot more of the business being handled in chapter meeting versus it being reports. And that was something that we was working on. And so I'm like, well, you know, when I go to this chapter meeting, you know, this is over in like an hour. When I come here, we're here for about 3 hours. Maybe we need to revisit these committees within the chapter. That was one of the pieces. And then just, they were hungry for knowledge.
Yeah.
Like, the fraternity had a very long history, but the sorority was very hungry for knowledge. They had lots of questions. They had bright eyes, bushy-tailed, wanting to know that information. Because the women in the chapter were the alpha line and the beta line of the chapter. That's the women that I was working with. And so they were very focused on shaping the legacy of their chapter and what they would be leaving as the chapter founders.
Yeah, and you got
the charter members.
Yeah, and you get to really help shape that for them. So that's really, yeah, just good that they had somebody who had that skill as an advisor prior, but who can come in and really help them mold the organization moving forward.
Yeah, and with them, I feel like their sorority was like so structured because they were a lot smaller. As far as from the national office, it was so structured. Like, they had an event once and the national president was there, the regional vice president was there. And so like all of their leadership was very passionate about it. And it was just, and I think a lot of it goes with the sorority being a lot smaller as a sorority in general.
Right.
Because this chapter was the Sigma chapter.
Yeah.
So they probably, I guess that's probably around like the 20 years. So they had about 20 or so undergraduate chapters versus the fraternity having about 900 to 1,000 undergraduate chapters. So it was kind of different, and you can kind of see that fire throughout the whole leadership. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Because the sorority itself right now is probably about, I would say almost 30 years old as a sorority. So they're doing a lot of growth and things like that right now. So they're very open to hearing from a lot of folks about shaping the organization.
Yeah, for sure. And that outside input can really help a lot too as they're, you know, shifting. I think, you know, so often in fraternity sorority life, we get caught up with, well, this is how my organization does it and how we've always done it, and so we're just going to stay that way. But, you know, as an organization still growing and developing, they don't have 100 years or 200 years of institutional memory that they have to combat.
Right. And so that was was very, I guess it was new for me coming from a fraternity, standpoint. Because we're always about, well, this is what we do. We're not changing nothing. This is who we are. And then talking with them, they're like, what can we do better? This is what we want to do. How can you help us get there? So it was like night and day almost. But at the end of the day, both of them were very strong chapters. Actually, that year, both of them won chapter of the year for their respective organizations. And so it was really good to see that, especially as them being the newest chapter in their sorority. They worked very hard and got things done.
Right.
So that was very good. But it was really awkward at an award ceremony on campus that I went to once. And they got to fraternity and sorority or Greek organization of the year. And there was only two, there was one fraternity and one sorority that was in the category. And I was advising both. It was really awkward.
Everybody else clamoring, saying, get him as our advisor, please.
Yeah,
it was
very awkward.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, one of the last things I'd really love to get some insight from you on is just advice for a couple different sets of folks. You know, I'll throw all three constituencies at you, and you can just share what you will about them. But you know, advice you'd like to give to other alumni advisors or alumna advisors. You know, our collegiate members, as well as like our campus-based professionals who are, constantly interacting with these organizations. So, you know, take what you will and share what you want.
Okay. I think for other alumni advisors, I think it's important to know that we are there as an advisor role and not the dictator of the chapter.
Yeah.
I think chapters respect advisors more when they're there and they're more so providing feedback and helping the chapter grow and develop versus saying, you know, we are so-and-so and this is what we do. So you need to make sure you have these programs in line, blah, 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 versus saying, hey, you know, what do you all have planned? How can I help? Or kind of get that feedback and you know, providing feedback and talking with them and kind of not having that authoritative role. I know that the advisor is looked at as an authoritative role, but it's with the new generation of students and working in student affairs, I've noticed a lot of students, this generation doesn't really like for someone to say or tell them what to do.
Right.
They like to be questioned and kind of pushed, but not be told exactly what to do. And I think as an advisor that sometimes we get caught up with, telling them that, you know, I've been in the fraternity or I've been in the sorority for like 20 years or whatever, and this is how it always goes.
Right.
Kind of just understand that, you know, the fraternity and sorority is continuously changing as the demographics of the undergraduate students or undergraduate members are changing. And I think that's something that was very beneficial for me. And just as an alumni member, if you are serving as an advisor, you know, getting to know the members of the chapter as well as the alumni of the chapter who are heavily involved, who I know through my role with the fraternity, I didn't necessarily pledge that particular chapter. However, I was very involved with the chapter. They had a chapter cookout every year in Chicago, so I would go to Chicago for the chapter cookout to meet chapter founders and alumni members of the chapter. During homecoming, they always had a chapter meeting to update the alumni on what the chapter is doing, so I always attended those. So just building that relationship with the alumni was very helpful, yeah. And they became very supportive of me as well as the advisor, and started including me in everything with the chapter. You know, first it was kind of shaky because nobody knew who I was, but once I built that relationship, we were able to, you know, operate as one, if you will. And I think for undergraduate chapters, or undergraduate students, it's important to have that respect for your advisor. The advisor is in a very tricky role because A, they're serving as a brother or a sister of the fraternity or sorority, but then they're also trying to hold that brother, those brothers or sisters accountable based on what the sorority or fraternity expects from the advisor.
Right.
So it gets really tricky, especially if that person has crossed or pledged in that particular chapter. Because now, if they're crossed in that chapter, that's their own chapter, and if the chapter is doing something they're not supposed to do, how do you hold that person accountable? And it gets very tricky, especially when those students are like, hey, you crossed this chapter, you know this is what we do, so why would you say that to us? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, it's like, you probably did this, so, you know, why can't we do it?
Exactly. And so that's something that gets very tricky. So just having that respect and understanding that they are now held accountable for the chapter now that they're an advisor. Because I know from my experience, anytime something happened with the chapter, our regional director or state director will call me first and question me first. So a lot of it is just making sure that you keep them in the know. As a student, making sure your advisor know what's going on, know what events you're having, knowing if you're going to other schools, things like that. And just have that open line of communication, because at the end of the day, the advisor is able to protect the chapter.
Right.
If the advisor knows what's going on, that advisor is able to share, this is what I know and this is what they're doing, so they should be fine. So just making sure that students have that open line of communication, because sometimes they're scared to share that information. And when they don't share it, it makes the chapter look bad, because now the advisor is out of the loop and doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah. Well, and I always told chapter members, you know, that their advisor would rather hear it from them than hear it from me or the headquarters of the institution, right? Like, they'd rather them own up to it, whatever's going
on. Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Making sure that they know first so that they're prepared and able to speak on their behalf, I think is very important. And I think even with university officials, just making sure that they're able to have that open line of communication with the advisors and chapters. I know for me, when the fraternity I was advising had some hiccups or some issues, the fraternity sorority life office was very open and always contacting me and was like, hey, this is what we heard, this is what's going on, what do you know? Or hey, this is what we've been told that happened, we don't know if this is true, can you follow up with your chapter and handle it on your end? So being able to make sure that we have that open communication and have a relationship to make sure that, you know, the three are working together, the students, the alumni, and the university is working together. Because I always told my chapters that I advise, we're guests here on campus,
mm-hmm.
and so we want to be able to keep our guest privileges and be able to be active on this campus. If the university, for any reason, feel that they don't want us to be guests here anymore, our privileges can be revoked, and there's nothing that we can do from the organizational side. And that was something that I always shared with them to make sure that we had those working relationships to maintain with the university and making sure that we're following the expectations of the university. Like the fraternity and sorority life office that I worked with were great, very open, shared everything from the beginning of the year, had retreats for the students. They worked really hard, especially during the time there was a hiccup with the MPHC organization on this particular campus, and so the MPHC was dismantled, and so they actually gave students the option of where they wanted to go. The fraternity that I was particularly advising have dual membership between MPHC and IFC.
Yeah,
and so those men actually decided they wanted to go to IFC versus the Multicultural Greek Council. And so it was kind of being able to do that, and the university was very open and very supportive of them making that transition from MPHC to IFC. And the IFC men welcomed them in, and they actually haven't left the IFC, and they've been in there probably now for about 3 years.
Huh.
And it's something they really like. At one point, they were talking about bringing MPHC back, and they're like, we'd rather stay here. So I think it's just really good to have those open relationships with the university. They always, from my perspective, with the office that I worked with, they're always willing to work with the chapter, versus being someone who's just very strict, saying, nope, you violated this, you're on probation, or you violated this, you all are now suspended. They always provided that due process and always worked with those students to really understand what happened and also provided an opportunity to learn from their mistakes. They always let them know, hey, we know about this, but this is how we're going to help you all get past this step. And the university had also implemented a 2.5 GPA requirement per semester. And so that first time, they kind of just gave them a warning when it happened, and kind of worked with them about how to get study tips, how to work hard, or how to improve their grades type of thing. And so that really helped them, and they really respected the office more when the office was able to work with them versus just being one that was an authoritative figure as an office. They really enjoyed when the office was able to help and help them with their growth and their development.
Yeah, well, it sounds like, you know, the almost what makes a good fraternity sorority office is similar to just some of the things you've outlined for a good chapter advisor relationship, where it's, you know, more partnership and less dictator authoritarianism, and it's all about that relationship. And I appreciate just how you've highlighted the relationship that needs to exist between advisors and chapters and chapters and, you know, all the different staff that they work with. So certainly appreciate that. But Robert, it's been a pleasure chatting with you and hearing about your experience and the cool things that you've been able to do with both Alpha Phi Alpha and Gamma Phi Omega. Just really cool that you've had those opportunities, and I wish you the best as you continue to work in student affairs, and hopefully, you know, you'll continue to advise and interact with at least your organization, if not some other ones who say, hey, get him too. But Robert, thank you so much for taking the time to share some thoughts and insights with me.
Thank you so much, Matt, for this opportunity. And I think you just got a new listener. Now I'm going to be following your podcast now.
Good deal. And that's one set of advisor viewpoints. I encourage you to tune in to the other episodes in this mini-series. And of course, if you have comments or questions, leave a note on iTunes or hit me up on Twitter, @MattDeeg. And, as always, stay curious.